listening to a session recorded live at the National Business Association's 27th International Conference on Business Incubation, held April 7th through the 10th, 2013, in Boston. Now to our session.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Great. And thanks in advance for coming to our panel session this morning, Growing a Diversified Regional Network of Cleantech Incubators. My name is Mike Ryan, and I'm co-founder, president, and a board member of the Association of Cleantech Incubators of New England. The Association of Cleantech Incubators of New England, also known as ACTION, you'll hear that acronym frequently throughout the day today. Joining me today as panelists are Alicia Barton, who's the Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director of the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center. We have Lou Petrovic of Resource Associates, and Lou is also the former Director of the Advanced Technology Manufacturing Center in Fall River, Massachusetts, part of the UMass system. Lou is also a founding member of ACTION and is ACTION's chairperson. And then we have Jeff Marks of the Environmental and Energy Technology Council of Maine, located in Portland, Maine. And the E2 Tech, and Jeff is also a member of ACTION. And then finally on the far right is Tom Kinneman, who's the Chief Operating Officer and Vice President of North Shore InnoVentures, which is actually part of the tour on Thursday, I believe.
Wednesday.
Part of the tour group on Wednesday, one of our premier incubators in the area. Tom is also a co-founding member of ACTION. He's a member of ACTION's board, and he's ACTION's treasurer as well. I'd also like to introduce Joan Popolo from the crowd. Joan is our indispensable program director at ACTION, and we may call on Joan throughout the session today to talk a little bit about ACTION's programs. The objective of today's discussion is to explain how the New England region has built a network of cleantech-focused incubators to share resources, best practices, and access to client companies. We'd also like to convey how these partnerships offer value to entrepreneurs by providing a breadth of knowledge, experience, and tools often unavailable from a single organization. There are four specific learn how-tos that you'll see in the program guide as well that we'll be covering today. Specifically, how do we increase funding opportunities through regional partnerships? How do we expand access to faculty and R&D facilities by leveraging university partnerships? How do we share mentor pools and specialized technical facility resources on a regional level? And how do we increase visibility for incubator clients to regional and national investors? Another bit of housekeeping as we get started, NBIA should have made two electronic handouts available to you prior to today's session. One is an ACTION overview, which I believe is a two-sided document. Two-sided document kind of summarizes what ACTION's about, and also an ACTION Pass summary. ACTION also has a table that we share with North Shore InnoVentures out in the exhibit area. If you don't find those documents electronically, please feel free to pick up a hard copy at our table. And one final thought in this day and age of wireless devices, if you're one of those habitual multitaskers, we'd certainly like to have your undivided attention during the panel, but if you find yourself needing to look online, at least point your browser to www.actionnewengland.org. So that might help you come up with some good questions and become engaged in today's panel. So are there any comments from anyone before we get started? Any opening remarks from the panelists? No? Okay. All right, good. Well, what we're going to start with today is just a very brief background on ACTION, if this would move. All right, I'm going to go this way. Okay. So we're going to start today's panel discussion just with a little bit of background about Action. The founders of Action have been working on the concept and the company proper for the better part of 3 years. We are a registered 501c6 organization, a trade association, a business league by IRS requirements. We are located in Massachusetts or incorporated in Massachusetts. We serve the entire New England area. We were officially formed in 2011. And we pursue and engage activities and programs that support clean tech entrepreneurs and emerging companies. And some of those activities and programs include providing a regional training program that supports the clean tech entrepreneurs and emerging companies. We call that Accelerating Success. We also pursue, manage, and administer region-wide incubation awards and incubation services programs. And we're just starting off with a new and flexible membership level called Action Pass, which, again, we will talk a little bit more deeply about what that is and how it's open to everyone internationally to become involved in our community. So everything that we do supports our mission, and our whether directly or indirectly. And the mission, as you see it on the screen, is to accelerate the growth of early-stage companies, strengthen the regional clean tech cluster, and create more green jobs in New England. As I said, we incorporated in Massachusetts in 2011. We had 5 founding members. And at this point, we have more than 25 incubator members and affiliated organizations spread throughout the world, actually. We do have quite a density here in New England, as is reflected in our name. We have 13 anchor incubators across the New England region, but then we've also added incubator members internationally and outside the region as well. So without putting too fine a point on it, we do have membership from organizations outside of New England, and we're happy to engage with your incubator organization as well. Another a focus of that, or clarification I'd like to make with regard to our incubator clientele, the incubators themselves are not exclusively, in most cases, clean tech focused. Some of them are, but in most cases, they are general business incubators, technology incubators that have a clean tech focus or want to develop that aspect of their clientele to draw more clean tech entrepreneurs into their community. And this is a listing of our incubators and some of the partners internationally as well. And finally, the progress to date, which we feel is pretty good over the last 2 years since incorporation, really would not have been possible without our partners throughout the region. And I can point out, for instance, Bingham McCutcheon and their specific help on the legal side, and Rodman & Rodman on the accounting side, allowing us to get officially formed, make the right connections, focus more on customer outreach, both at the incubator level and the entrepreneur level, so that the actual organization had the right things in place. And, of course, we have other interaction with other partners throughout the funding partners throughout the region, nationally and internationally as well. So that's it for the brief overview of Action. So I'd like to begin to engage the panelists in today's discussion. And I'd like to make the first toss to Tom. And then, of course, all the other panelists can chime in as they see fit. But the first thing we'd like to cover is, Tom, how does Action complement and differ from NBIA?
I think that's an important question. Obviously, we're all here at NBIA because we either know it has value or think it has value, and we've certainly found that in building up our own incubator. I always look at NBIA as sort of the how-to of incubation. One of the challenges of being in an incubator is you're often a pioneer, an entrepreneur yourself, trying to get things going. And there's no organizational memory like there are in big companies. So NBIA really is the organizational memory for this industry. You can come here and get the how-to books and get the people who've done it for years and years and get up a few steps on the ladder. So why do we need action? Why is action different? Well, you know, we don't try to duplicate what NBIA does. We all are here for the same reason. I see some of the other incubators in the system. You know, the Scavelli Center's here, Greentown's here, et cetera. So, you know, we're all here to learn from NBIA for what NBIA brings. But what action brings really is the capability of promoting our local capabilities and sharing our local capabilities. Even just making potential members aware of incubation as a valuable resource that they should consider in looking at developing their companies. The more of us who are talking about it and the more we promote that, the more likely they are to come to us, and then the appropriate people are going to get incubated and move on more quickly. So we have a referral system, for example. If someone's interested in incubation, we all refer those people back into action to make sure they get to the right incubator. One of the things that we love to talk about is the fact that we don't see ourselves as competitors. We see ourselves as complementary. We joke about the fact that any good entrepreneur is going to do their due diligence and find out where the right incubator is. If they're not a good entrepreneur, they're not going to do their due diligence, and they're going to end up in the wrong one. Well, that means they're not a very smart entrepreneur. Do you really want them in your incubator anyway? So you may as well help them get to the right one. We also do have a diverse set of capabilities. We have laboratory capabilities, as you'll see if you come on the tour. Newburyport has light manufacturing. Regionally, we wouldn't expect somebody from the western part of Massachusetts to come down to Boston, so you know, we've got our facilities out in Springfield, et cetera. So there's a lot of complementary activities. The last point I would leave you with is that there's a lot of things that there's economies of scale. And a classic example of that, which I'm sure others will talk about, is the whole educational program, the seminar series and things like that. We had started a seminar series called InnoVentures U, which is very successful. It's great business training for the entrepreneurs. But the reality is that it's not too different from what other incubators are doing. So what we've done is banded together and partnered with one of the local universities, partnered with each of the other incubators who bring a little different spin, a little different sponsorship, a little different mentor mix in, and we're having different people come to different incubators and give seminars at each one of them. So that becomes just a richer environment and gives for more cross-fertilization both for the incubators and for the entrepreneurs.
Okay.
That covers most of it.
Covers quite a bit. In this particular area, I'd like to bring up the Action Pass membership level as well. And there's two parts to directing the question this way. So that first you can learn more about Action Pass. I've already mentioned it two or three times. And I'll ask Joan to just give a brief a comment to the crowd about what it's about. Okay. That's fine. We can. Yeah, and then we'll go to the funding. So Action Pass is a membership level for entrepreneurs and emerging companies. Action itself is an organization whose members are incubators. In a lot of cases, you can see that that Action Pass may precede an entrepreneur's interest in officially affiliating with an incubator in their area, or maybe they don't have an incubator in their particular area. And this is a way for them to connect into one of the leading clean tech regional efforts globally. The second part of that question about Action Pass was to ask Alicia about MassCEC's funding of Action Pass and why they felt it was important to fund it.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. And just for any of you that don't know, MassCEC is the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center, and we are a publicly funded entity that's dedicated to growing the clean tech sector, the economic sector here in Massachusetts. So we do that through a variety of different efforts to directly fund the industry, including the partnerships that we have with organizations like Action to support the ecosystem of clean tech companies, if you will. So, a couple of things in terms of why Action and Action Pass has been, an attractive partner for us. I mean, one is it's sort of simply is the fact that it's a regional network. And so here with MassCEC, we're very tied into most of the incubators that are located in Massachusetts and the we have a good partnership and insight into most of the activity going on in Massachusetts, but having an ability to connect with other entities in the region is something that's helpful to us and something that we can provide as a resource to the Massachusetts-based companies, startup companies, that are looking to potentially find partners or resources or demonstration sites or any type of partnership and collaboration opportunities that we can't necessarily offer directly in Massachusetts. I think the other kind of key aspect of the Action Pass in particular is that one of our missions at MassCEC is to draw companies to Massachusetts to do business here. So we focus heavily on both international trade and investment opportunities and drawing international companies to have Massachusetts be their point of entry into the U.S. markets, including startup companies. That's not just for major corporations. And similarly, as we travel around the United States as well, trying to attract promising companies to Massachusetts. And this is an easy way to get them connected directly to Massachusetts and to the New England region. It has a low cost of entry, as Mike mentioned and Joan described. And so it's been, something that's very easy for us to use as an initial kind of connection with a company that's thinking about doing business in Massachusetts or relocating or maybe just wants to spend a little bit of time here to try and test it out. As Mike described it, it's kind of the precursor maybe to formally locating in a New England incubator. So given the low-cost point of entry and the ability to plug in immediately into this network, not just one individual incubator, kind of get immediately networked into all the different program offerings that I think we'll also end up talking about. That's been a really easy sell for us and something that is kind of a concrete way to have a conversation with foreign companies or companies located elsewhere in the United States about how they can start to explore business opportunities here in Massachusetts.
Okay, great. Thank you. Would you mind tapping on that mic? Just give it a tap. Make sure it's on. Marla was just double checking to make sure we're on. We were being recorded. Give that one a tap, Tom. Yeah. Okay. We're good. Excellent.
On the Action Pass, people are already using this and taking advantage of people
right.
who wouldn't have come into the incubator yet. So I think that point is well taken. It's going to be interesting to see how the pilot goes. But I'm particularly interested in the international, because we've had a lot of people approach us as an individual incubator, but they really want to survey the region. So this is the perfect answer for them.
Exactly. Exactly. And what we found is here in New England, we're quite dense with both population, universities, and clean tech entrepreneurs and resources for those clean tech entrepreneurs. So not only do we want to drive the economic activity into and through New England, we feel it's a great resource, especially for underserved areas of the country and the world that don't have this sort of clean tech cluster that they could rely on. So this is, again, an easy way for really anybody, people in transition, someone that's just coming out of school. They're really not sure about clean tech, but this is a great way for them to get involved. So it's quite an inclusive rather than an exclusive program. Okay, diving into to another question that's critically important in terms of today's learn how-tos. How does Action increase funding opportunities through its regional partnerships? We have a number of programs that we're involved in, and I think I'll start again with Alicia and talk about the grant funding that supports our 7 Massachusetts incubators.
Sure. So in addition to partnering with Action directly and funding the Action Pass pilot, we also have worked directly with other incubators in Massachusetts, many of which were on one of the prior slides you showed that listed all the incubators that you have. I believe there are 7 different incubators in Massachusetts that we have funded at some level. And again, our mission is really to help kind of build the platform in Massachusetts for the clean technology sector to succeed. That's a complicated recipe. We have a lot of inherent resources. We have, world-class universities, many of which partner directly with the incubators that participate in this network as well. And that's a great start, but we know that businesses, as they grow, need help. They need to have resources in a variety of ways. That's the whole premise behind the incubator concept. And, you know, for us, and looking at the big picture and the economic development initiative that we're undertaking at MassCEC, we know that companies that can find those resources are more likely, A, to be successful, but to B, to stay in Massachusetts and grow their companies here as they do find success. So, you know, for us, it's a natural partnership. It also, you know, I think helps us with our other program offerings as well. So we fund, for example, different types of clean energy activities and projects. For example, we have company catalyst grants that we fund. We have that provide grants for advanced research projects and early stage companies. We have an Innovate Mass program that we piloted this year that funds pilot and demonstration opportunities. And I think, you know, being plugged into the network of action and having a direct window into the companies that are working in each of these incubators has been a help in having those programs be successful by having good quality submissions, helping, you know, companies find partnerships. For example, our Innovate Mass pilot and demonstration funding opportunity was specifically designed to help foster collaborations between companies. We didn't want to just see, you know, individual companies proposing projects on their own. And so having this kind of network aspect that we have here, in addition to the direct relationship with the incubators, both of those working together has been really valuable for us.
Okay, thank you. Lou, you have any particular funding opportunities you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, it's the the CleanTech I-6 program, which is a development of the Economic Development Administration of the Commerce Department. It involves the USPTO, private funding, and NSF, SBIR funding. So a total of about $3 million a year. It started, it was authorized in 2009, and there are 6 economic development regions in the country, and they're invited to submit proposals in different areas. And 2 years ago, we were Massachusetts Clean Energy Council, Fraunhofer, invited us to be part, actually to be part of the proposal that they were going to put in. And the proposal really addresses what EDA wants to highlight as their goals. Innovation, you know, create an ecosystem for entrepreneurship, commercialize research so that it stays in those regions and creates jobs and so on, and involve, where possible, other federal agencies to become involved in the idea of creating a system that encourages people to start companies and become successful. It's really kind of refreshing when you think about it, because you really don't hear much of that in the federal government as such. We were invited to be part of this proposal. The competition was very stiff in New England. There were 70 rough bids that were put in. And the coalition that was represented there, we were one part of it. We think that as a result of us being there, because of what you heard so far about the regional aspect, made it a much stronger proposal, and it won. In terms of action, it was approximately $250,000 over 2 years. One half of that has gone to action liaisons in each of the 5 states in order to promote those actions, things that they would do to meet the EDA's goals. The other half is state. Part of it was for overhead for action, and then to create those kinds of opportunities for companies, for collaborations that wouldn't ordinarily exist without a little bit of money being put in the pot. Money goes a long way, it turns out, in this business. And it has been successful, and it's led to increased collaborations that you've heard talked about here so far. And we expect it to lead to more ways of working together to go after funds in which no one funding group might get it by itself. But when you have collaborations of interest around the topic area, we believe that that's going to make it more advantageous for the companies and the incubators to go out and share those kinds of things they need to share. One of the other things that came out of this was the opportunity to do an inventory of what's available throughout this region, something that's called Clean Zone. And that is just in the process now. So information that's available to companies and to incubator managers addresses a really important issue in terms of anybody trying to start a business. I've been through 8 startups, successful startups, and what I found is that when you start your own business as an entrepreneur, with all the goals and drive and so on, you also have one characteristic. Mainly you're lonely. You're out there by yourself. And when you get into an incubator, what happens is you're not lonely anymore. People are sharing the similar type of challenges. But then the incubator managers can get lonely also. And by having this network, as Tom referred to, and being able to talk to each other, we take the best practices that Tom talked about and adopt them and share them. So this has been something that the funding opportunity allowed us to start working on.
Great. Thanks, Lou. Jeff, you want to chime in on this one?
Sure. And I just want to take a few minutes to talk about ET Tech, because we're not a traditional incubator in the sense of the word. We like to think of ourselves as an honorary incubator or an incubator light, but an important and integral part of the Action community. We're a business trade association in Maine. We were born out of the Maine Chamber of Commerce about 10 years ago, primarily to do networking, education on different issues within the E2Tech sector. Whether it's alternative vehicles or business financing for clean energy opportunities. We have about 180 members. Anybody who has either a toe in the environmental and energy technology world in Maine or their entire businesses in there, that's who we represent throughout the state. So we're very key on education. We're very key on networking with a lot of different partners. These partners include renewable energy companies, large manufacturers, construction companies, universities, and individual shops, startups, entrepreneurs who are interested in bringing their services, products, and really their ideas and innovations to markets. And so it's very important, even though we have Maine in the title, we really want to become more involved throughout the region, throughout the nation, and internationally. And Actions is a key partner in that. We joined Action over the last year. I think we've been working together over the last year. I've been with E2Tech for about 9 months. We're one of the Action liaisons that Lou talked about, the Action liaison for the state of Maine. And we really see this organization as a way to connect our main companies, connect our main incubators with all of the incredible opportunities that are going out on throughout the region. We're a small rural state. We have about 1.2 million people, but we have such an incredible pool of innovators and idea people and technology savvy folks that really know their sector, know their industry, know their product, but may not have that business acumen to take it to the next level, to take that product and go through an R&D process or get mentoring from different organizations. So the assistance, the financial help, the technical assistance, and the information that comes through a group like Action has been really key for us. Another organization within the state of Maine that's working closely with Action and some of our New England partners, it's Maine Technology Institute. And that's really the state organization that helps fund these startups and entrepreneurs, whether it's seed grants, whether it's development loans, anything that moves that idea through the process from research, development, demonstration projects and into commercialization. That organization funds it. We see Action as an important partner of that. We're glad to be involved.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Tom, you have any comments on the funding on a region-wide basis?
One of the things we haven't talked about yet is the U-Launch Awards, I think. Without getting into all the details of it, we all know that entrepreneurs often are not funded really well. And it costs money to incubate people. You need facilities. You got to pay for the heat and light at least. You can get lots of volunteer time, but you can't usually get that. So one of the programs that came out of this action was the U-Launch Awards. We're helping to take technologies out of the universities into incubation. I think all of you here know that the probability of success for a company is 2 to 3 times better if they're incubated than if they aren't. Part of that's selection, but part of that's just what we all do here. And simply making scholarships available for some of these companies has been extremely valuable. I know a number of these people would not have gotten into incubation but for that small amount of funding. And we're really talking small awards makes a big difference. A few $1,000, 6 months to a year of incubation can make all the difference of whether someone can build a team and get some momentum and then get private funding.
Great. Thank you, Tom. A couple of notes.
Jeff, go ahead. I have to go, Tom, on that, because through our organization and through this partnership with Action, we've had a couple of companies over the last several months that have really benefited through those kind of creative relationships that we can build, such as an E2Tech and Action, to really give these companies, no matter how big or small the award, every little bit helps, and U-Launch and those types of things are important to that process.
So let me highlight a couple of things, or one from each speaker, and start with Alicia. Massachusetts Clean Energy Center is an instrumentality of the state that focuses on clean tech development, entrepreneurship, growth of the ecosystem. Do your states have the same sort of organization? Is there anybody that doesn't have an organization such as the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center, an organization that funds entrepreneurship, funds incubation, funds clean energy investments? Is there any state that does not have an organization like that from the audience? So you feel you all have those? That's excellent. And what state is that? Okay. Great. Thank you. Any other comments? Appreciate the input, though. Any other comments about your particular, what support you might have in your geographies? No? Okay. One other thing I'd like to point out, with regard to the I-6 that Lou had mentioned, the I-6 Green program put out by the Economic Development Administration, Department of Commerce. Did anybody in the crowd participate in that proposal cycle about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago? Jim, of course, yes. And why not, to your knowledge? And competition was pretty stiff, as Lou had mentioned, during this I-6 cycle. With regard to E2Tech, a comment I'd like to make is that as we have reached out beyond New England, that even within New England, as the population density, university density get into a more rural state, what we find is very helpful is to sort of plant a flag, and E2Tech is that flag in Maine. So E2Tech then is our connection point to the extended network within that state. There are a variety of other entrepreneurial incubation activities that are happening there. MCED in Portland, Maine as well. Target Technology Center as part of the University of Maine in Orono. And I'm probably leaving out many others. Brunswick Landing, the old Naval Air Station in Brunswick. And there's probably a whole host of others as well. But the point being that in each particular area, the best way to do is sort of get a beachhead and then look for the collaboration and connection points to the rest of the extended network. And then Tom mentioned the U-Launch program, and the U-Launch program has been very successful, handing out quite a bit of service awards for businesses in across New England. And we've actually partnered, Action has partnered with U-Launch, which is a group of organizations, New England Clean Energy Foundation, now called the Institute, the Fraunhofer Center, Massachusetts Clean Energy Center in Action, and we provide funded service awards primarily for incubation and R&D services, but also for entrepreneurials in service. Okay, let's move on to the next question for the panel. How does Action expand access to faculty and R&D facilities by leveraging university partnerships? Anybody on the panel want to go first?
Yes, I'll go first. I was recently, as stated, director of the ATMC, Advanced Technology Manufacturing Center, at the UMass Dartmouth campus down in Dartmouth, Massachusetts, near the water. And basically, the university facility is there to work with companies to involve faculty and students solving problems that will help companies stay in business, technically based problems. And it has, we have a facility which we use because of the location and because of the connection with the universities all the way from University of New Hampshire down through Woods Hole, MIT, Rhode Island, and UMass Dartmouth, with, that had great strengths in the marine sciences. And we developed something called the Marine Renewable Energy Center, which would test turbines in water and floating wind and so forth. And that we're going to be building a facility off of Edgartown to actually do demonstration projects. But as part of that, we ended up in our Tech Venture Center, which is our incubator. But in the university, we really can't use the word incubator. We have to call it something else. So we call it the Tech Venture Center, underneath the direction of Amit Basnet. And because of the Marine Renewable Center, we drew four companies in the marine turbine area to be part of the Tech Venture Center. And the, really the key there is we got them started. We had some money to develop a laboratory for testing of the turbines as we were going forward. And the company... A couple of them already have graduated into large demonstrations or actual commercial demonstration projects. But one example of how the network has worked is that we have, one of our companies, Resolute Marine Energy, is actually into the demo phase. And because their demo is located up near the New Hampshire border, they've moved into the Newburyport incubator that's run by Bob O'Brien as a way of getting the kind of support they need closer to where they're going to be operating. And we were just, we're delighted that that's, we could be part of that situation, and we want them to be successful. And that's just an example of how I think these collaborations work. Tom mentioned it earlier that we want people to be successful. And so by collaborating, we may be able to increase that chance for success.
Great. Thank you, Lou. Jeff, you want to mention some things about the main cluster initiative?
Sure.
Or perhaps any other topic relevant to the question?
I can definitely talk about that. About a year ago, there were a group of folks in Maine, and we're talking about cluster initiatives and bringing companies within these sectors together to collaborate on really how to build and expand the clean tech sector in Maine. And some people scratched their head and said, well, what exactly is clean tech? What does that mean for Maine? What are the economic impacts of that particular sector within the state? And these questions, I mean, you can talk about these questions, whether it's aerospace, biotech, information technology, but this conversation just happened to be about clean tech. And one of the groups within those conversations was the University of Maine. So we decided to approach the Maine Technology Institute. They do awards not just for individual businesses and companies through their business innovation program, but they really focus their funding on sectors and clusters within the state. Aerospace, biotech, information technology, composites, precision manufacturing. And they really wanted to see if this clean tech sector was involved. So we teamed up with the University of Maine and specific companies that do renewable and energy and environmental type things. And we decided to approach MTI for some funding to really define what this sector is. And I think that's That's important anytime you want to leverage resources, whether it's through universities and the research labs that they have and the testing facilities. Is you really need to, what do you go, what are these companies? And in our case, clean tech could cover a lot of different things. We decided to focus on renewable energy, energy efficiency, anybody in the environmental remediation, pollution control industries, bio-based products. And then you really need to catalog who's in that space in your state, in your region. Action has been become part of the steering committee for that, because while we're focused on Maine and bringing jobs to the state and really expanding this sector within our state, there are so many resources, as I mentioned before, outside the state. Action and New England Clean Energy Council Institute and other organizations throughout New England are key to that process. So we're in the process now of, you know, we've kind of defined it. Now who's in it? How do we describe it? What are those interconnections that make this cluster strong? And part of that is the incubation community, because that's where so many of these clean tech companies start. That's where they get their initial information, their resources, their mentoring, directions for funding that's available for them. And it's been a good relationship with the University of Maine, which is our primary research institution in the state, and taking advantage of some of the resources throughout New England. I think we'll be able to really figure out who these companies are, what are the assets that are out there. We just recently put together a publication that kind of catalogs all of the different resources that are out there for energy-related projects and companies. It's no surprise that Action is at the top of that list, not just because of their importance, but it is also alphabetical.
Tom, you have some comments on the...
The problem always when we talk about Action is it's such an embarrassment of riches and opportunities in many ways. In addition to what's been mentioned there, we are developing collaborations with the universities. The one that I talked about before was with Boston University helping to put together the curriculum for the training, so I won't go through that one again. But we've, at NSIV, the North Shore Interventions, we've developed a collaboration with the local universities to make state-of-the-art instrumentation available to the entrepreneurs and to the students so that they can be trained in the latest techniques and equipment. We have identified in the companies in the area that they need better trained technicians, scientists, etc., who often aren't getting state-of-the-art training in the universities. So that's one area. And in doing that, we became aware that the Mass University at Lowell, UMass Lowell, has opened up a nanotech center, and they're making all of their instrumentation available to the local entrepreneurial community. And that's even broader than just the early stage companies. They're making that available to all of the companies in the area on a very cost-effective basis. So these things tend to catalyze each other. The idea that you should share resources seems to be really taking root in this region, partly, I think, because we help bring that idea to people. And they're saying, well, why not? And, of course, there's always legal reasons and liability and all those kind of things. But I think people are getting over all that and realizing that, hey, wait a minute, if we don't make this easier to get companies started and to help early stage and even later stage companies access resources, we're going to lose the global game. So I think there's a lot going on right now, and I think it's only just starting.
You bet. Now let me ask the audience, how many of your organizations or entities are nominally involved in clean tech now? Show of hands. So does that mean if you don't have your hand raised, you're really not involved in clean tech, or you might be involved in another industry area? Largest areas, clean tech for port tech. Okay. Any other comments about your investment or participation in the clean tech community? Anything at all? No. In the back. You look like you're... No? Okay. No, that's all right. Counting heads. I wanted to highlight one thing that Lou had mentioned with regard to the marine sciences, and relate that to especially our international partnerships. The Progetto Manifattura in the Trentino region, province of Italy, is a $130 million economic development aspiration, we'll say, of the Italian government. And the focus there is on renovating buildings and remodeling them rather than tearing them down, as we might do here after they get to be 100 years old or less. They really want to keep the facades, as you might, you know, suspect in that in the ancient country. But they want to make the buildings more energy efficient. So here's an international partner that focuses on energy efficiency, renovation of their buildings, and it allows for a connection point for our entrepreneurs and theirs, both ways, to connect with the two different regions. And it's a portal to the European community and beyond. By the same token, Orbis Energy in Lowestoft, England, is the EU's primary investigatory body for offshore renewables. So Lou's mentioned marine sciences. New England, with its pretty large coastline, has quite a bit of investment in marine sciences and offshore renewables. And this, too, is a way for our entrepreneurs and theirs to collaborate, exchange ideas, and build on that specific part or niche of the clean tech industry. So there is some strategy behind adding different partnerships, both nationally, beyond the borders of New England, and internationally. And one of them is to have these verticals, industry verticals, where we can offer opportunity to entrepreneurs and their incubators through those partnerships. Okay, next question would be, how does Action share mentor pools and specialized technical facility resources on a regional level? Any comments?
I would love to talk about one because one of our partners is here, Greentown. We've had a number of entrepreneurs who needed a space where they could do metal bending and, you know, building of prototypes and things like that. And as good as our facilities are at North Shore InnoVentures, we don't have that capability. We have great lab facilities, but I'm not going to have anybody in there welding. That's just not going to work for us. So we have a number of people through needing the facilities of Greentown, but needing some of the mentoring and sponsorship opportunities that we are able to offer from North Shore InnoVentures that actually are in both incubators. So we have a number of people who go back and forth there, and it's really been a very successful model for a number of those companies, as was said here before, trying to figure out what does this company need to become successful, and let's go find it. So I think that's a great example. We've had some real good success there.
All right, thank you, Tom. Jeff, any thoughts that you'd like to share?
Well, sure, and I want to concentrate on kind of the interesting different types of specialized technical facilities that are out there. In Maine, we're at an interesting place because we, Mike mentioned it, in fact, we see up as far as one of the member incubators up on the board here is the Midcoast Regional Redevelopment Authority in Brunswick, Maine. We have an interesting opportunity up there. We have Brunswick Naval Air Station closed several years ago as part of the U.S. base closure of several bases around the country. That was 5,000 jobs instantly or over a small period of time gone out of a very small area of the state. And we have this facility up there. It's empty, but it holds so much promise of building what we'd like to do, and that's a renewable energy center at this facility. It's, we'll go through some numbers here. It's 3,200 acres. It has state-of-the-art facilities. There are over 200 buildings on this campus, more than 2 million square feet of space. It has its own power supply, its transmission system. It's really a blank slate that can be used for a lot of different types of things, whether it's R&D, whether it's incubation space, whether it's a manufacturing facility at some point for components in the renewable energy sector. There are opportunities for demo projects, maybe a unique wind turbine or something to go up on this site. And just a few weeks ago, it was announced by NERA that they want to take this building and turn it into a state-of-the-art scientific and technical incubator space. Now, this is a very specialized facility, and it has tremendous promise, and as I said before, it's a blank slate. So we are looking to organizations like Action, some of the other incubators in the room, some of the clean tech experts throughout the industry to really assist us. What do we do with this? We have these, a lot of the infrastructure on the site of 10 to 15 years old, fiber optic network going through it. As I mentioned before, it's on microgrid. It's an example of a specialized facility that we can do just about anything with. So we're open to ideas. We'll be reaching out to the community throughout New England and looking forward to really being on the ground floor of creating something that's quite different, quite specialized. And I'm hoping to get a lot of information here.
I just wanted to jump on one important point there. Quite different, quite specialized. One of the real benefits I think we've seen out of Action is having a complementarity in the system. You know, there's not a lot of money for all of this, and we can't have over-duplication. We do need to have geographic diversity, but we can't have every incubator doing the same thing, because you end up with six quarter-filled incubators that are not sustainable. So one of the things that we always are talking to people about is, what's your unique niche? What do you add to the ecosystem as opposed to simply duplicating what's already there? And an example of that was we were encouraged at one time to put in some shop facilities. And when we became aware of what Greentown said, we said, why would I do that? You know, go down there. And
it's 10 miles away.
Yeah.
Please do. Add exactly that point. So, and then picking up on a couple of things you've said so far, Tom. You know, the fact that that through Action and otherwise incubators work together and attempt not to duplicate but to be complementary. And I like what you said at the beginning about not seeing each other as competition but as colleagues. That's critically important for us. Just sitting in the position of Mass CEC and looking at funding opportunities, we don't want to be funding the same activity at multiple locations. You know, that type of redundancy strains we're lucky enough in Massachusetts to have resources to be able to fund these activities, but they are somewhat limited, and going about it in the smartest possible way by seeing a coordinated kind of strategy to bring all the resources to the table but not duplicate them and not compete with one another is something that's very important from our perspective. And I think also, you know, that applies to other entities that fund this type of work as well. You know, many of the other partners you work with, I'm sure we share that same perspective.
Lou, you want to talk?
I mentioned the Maine Technology Institute before as being the primary kind of publicly funded industry-led organization. They've come to me and said, you know, we don't want duplication of effort. We don't want overlap between all of these associations and organizations. If you can reach out and develop partnerships and really leverage those partnerships to bring economic development not just to the state of Maine, but to offer our services and our expertise to other regions and companies throughout the New England region, we'll take you more seriously when we're looking at funding opportunities in the future rather than just scattershot and throwing cash in the air and whoever reaches up and grabs it most quickly gets it. If we can keep these collaborations strong, that's going to be key for those people who are looking to invest in these different types of industries that are out there, not just clean tech, just about anything.
Right on. Lou, you want to mention something about the technical resources?
Yeah, actually, a question that should be in your minds are, do these people really work together, or are they just talking about it? The answer is yes, we do work together, and we share facilities. For example, at the ATMC, because the way it was set up, there are special labs for computers, special labs for electronics, special labs for clean energy, which is related to marine renewable, wet chemistry laboratories, and then a
laser laboratory, acoustic laboratory, and also the key to it, a prototyping laboratory, which is not a machine shop because the person that is in charge of that is a designer. He sits down with startup companies or any company and works to design something that they need and can build there in quantity one at a time. These facilities are available to the Action Network. They're a little different than Greentown, but it's something that's available there, and it's also available through Action Pass. On top of that, I just want to point out that great things going on in Maine. The liaisons in Connecticut and Vermont and New Hampshire are likewise looking to find ways of working in collaboration to help their companies in their regions create jobs for their people also.
Great. And one thing I'd like to put, but I'll definitely take a question. Thank you. From a membership perspective, let me repeat that. The question is about inventorying resources throughout the area, and we do have an inventory of resources throughout the Action Network. Access to that would be on a membership basis, but it is open to all. If you're interested in tapping into that set of resources, definitely speak with me or Joan, and we'd help you get involved. Well, the organization itself, as Lou was just pointing out, and Tom as well, we actually do work together quite a bit. We were just down in Connecticut last Thursday for our board meeting and the Bragg Day for Connecticut. At the end of January, we were up in Vermont. So we're in constant communication, updating whether it's mentors, technical resources, particular types of equipment might be. Constantly going through the update. One of the more difficult things to keep track of is which entrepreneurs and emerging companies are actually residing in the incubators, because I think that's the revolving door that moves quite quickly in some cases. So it's through Google Docs, you know, when you get right down to it, something like a Google Docs spreadsheet that we would concentrate on.
Could I add a point that we make all the time on mentors matching and on equipment matching and all that? Look, the web's a wonderful thing and databases are great, but that isn't how it works. The fact is that we work together, we get to know what our distinctive capabilities are, and people know I've got a lab, so if they're looking for something that might be in a lab, they're going to call me up and ask. So whether the database is up to date or not, it doesn't really matter if you've got those personal interactions and connections. Yes, we have a database, and that's part of the solution, but don't kid yourself that the database is the answer. You need to get to know people and make connections.
Now, when I went to, just one second, I just want to make a point. When we were down in Connecticut last week, I think out of all of our incubators internationally, Connecticut has one of the best prototyping shops available, multi-million dollars worth of equipment that's open to everybody, all of you as well, bringing your entrepreneurs in. There's only five or six of those types of funded prototype shops around. So having that open and available and reasonably aware, having our community reasonably aware of that, you know, they might not know exactly what machine, is it a five-axis machine, this type of brand, whatever it might be, but they know there's different pockets of expertise available throughout the network, and who do I call to get that? Well, it might be Marla or Lou or Tom or whatever it might be. So the starting point is the personal relationships that we've developed over the last 3 years. Yes, sir. Yeah, so how does the money flow? And as much as possible, we'd like to do the introduction as Action, but then have the transaction, a financial transaction, be between whoever's needing the service to whoever providing it. You know, just to give one example, if someone comes into our website as the umbrella, the net, you know, we're trolling this net. Someone comes into the website, I am an entrepreneur and I'm looking for incubation opportunities. We have a lead referral program. We send that lead out to the entire Action Network, give the incubator managers a certain amount of time to respond to that lead, and those who are interested respond back. We make an introduction at that point. We have a summary of what the company is all about, and say there's three finalists that are interested in that company. Well, they'll go and have an initial interaction with the incubators and make their decision. And once they make their decision, the financial transactions between the entrepreneur and the incubator, we're providing that service of lead referral. And that's pretty much the same way it happens with equipment use and sharing of other resources. We stand as the information flow, so Joan or I or one of our volunteers might get the information in, and then we pass it around. And if there is a transaction, we like to keep it at the whoever's using the service and whoever's providing the service. Yes, Jim.
So is that how you launch works also? Could you give us a little more who's running it?
Yeah. So you launch, university launch, Tom had mentioned that before. It's a Department of Energy funded program, started in 2010, and that was one of the founding seed monies that that Action participated in. There are four primary partners that are members of the U-Launch team: Massachusetts Clean Energy Center, New England Clean Energy Council, Institute, Action, and the Fraunhofer Center. Now, specifically on U-Launch, we're in our last 6 months of the program. All funds will be expended by September 30th. The services that are provided are for incubation services, entrepreneur in residence, and R&D services. And typically, of course, we administer the incubation service awards. And in most cases, over the past 2 years, we've collaborated with Clean Tech Open to fund the semifinalists through Clean Tech Open with the U-Launch Incubation Awards. We had our first call when we first started the program ourselves. And then we found that, geez, because we are pretty rich with resources around here, let's collaborate with another organization that's already doing, going out there and canvassing for entrepreneurs. As a matter of fact, Joan used to work with, on a volunteer basis, used to work with Clean Tech Open, recruiting entrepreneurs. So that's a little bit more about U-Launch. We are in our final chapter. Now we're looking towards sustainability and how do we get sponsorship dollars to fill in where the DOE dollars were for incubation awards and other services. Yes?
I just want to add a comment. I'm on Action Board as well. And I think when we started Action, we were really trying to think about, what not only what do the member incubators need, but what do the... what the member incubators need, to be part of this organization that we were creating, what's the value add for the incubators, but also what's the value add for the companies. As entrepreneurs, time is money. So if we could help reduce the time for the companies coming into the network to get what they needed, their likelihood of being successful would be much greater. And from as an incubator manager, we as incubator managers spend a lot of time trying to recruit the right companies, right? You want to get the right company. What Mike just talked about as far as the referral process, for me, when I got involved with Action, was one of the primary reasons. I needed to find companies because I wanted to attract them and let them know about the resources that I had available with UMass and the other universities in the area. So that was like one of the benefits of us coming together. It was not only being able to help my own incubator grow, but help the companies that we were trying to attract and keep to be more successful.
Great, thank you.
Mike, there's another thing that maybe didn't come out on that, leveraging of resources, but partnering with the Clean Tech Open. The Clean Tech Open brings a lot of mentors and advisors together, but importantly, it brings together judges. And they have a very formal process of admitting people into this accelerator slash business competition. And rather than duplicating that, you basically say, look, if you win the Clean Tech Open, we're going to give you an incubator award. You've been vetted already. So, you don't need to build in a lot of extra infrastructure in to decide where to put the money. You just pile on to the ones that have already been vetted by well-connected, intelligent people. So that's just an efficiency of the system.
Yeah, to use a stupid phrase, there's no I in team. We look at the strength of us working together to be much, much stronger than us working individually. And we find pop-up incubators coming around. We want to reach out to them as soon as we possibly can to allow them the opportunity to become part of the network as well. And again, reaching outside of New England to broaden the opportunities for other clean tech entrepreneurs and other incubators that are interested in becoming involved. And, really the rich and dense resource base that we have here in New England. The last question, and I recognize that we're at 10:10, is about the incubator clients becoming aware of of regional and national investor opportunities. So let me open it up to the panel for any thoughts on that.
Speak to a couple of things on that. I think one specific example was that so for MassCEC, we have a one of our flagship annual events is the Global Clean Tech Meetup that will take place this year in November 12 to 14. And at last year's Global Clean Tech Meetup, I think you know, the companies that were connected through Action had an opportunity to attend through that relationship that we have and to present. And there was a large gathering of institutional and private venture investors that were assembled at that one location. And I think, you know, again, just talking about all the network and the leveraging aspect that's been mentioned a couple of times, you know, by feeding into this one network, you get an opportunity to show up at events that that will have that kind of aggregated resources and ability to pitch your business or to make a connection with a potential business partner or find others that are working in a similar area. I think one of the last things I wanted to add in, though, that I hadn't mentioned yet that's related to that is just I think part of the other value of Action, and it does get a little bit to this database question, and I don't I appreciate Tom's comments very much, although I'll push back a little bit just to the extent that I think the database and performance metrics that get collected through Action are really valuable both for selling incubators as a concept, selling to entities like MassCEC that might fund them. It's helpful to us, I think, in also selling the work we do at MassCEC to a broader audience to be able to show how many companies are going through, how many resources are available through the network, you know, what the universe is. And I think that's, in particular, again, going back to some of the international and national aspect of this, is that, you know, that gives us a clear set of talking points and data and resources to clearly delineate to someone that's outside the network. So as much as it, you know, sort of, I think your point's well taken that, you know, how it happens on a day-to-day basis often is through, you know, person-to-person collaboration once you're plugged into the network. From the outside, before you get plugged in, I think being able to see the database and see the set of resources that's available is important. And I think being a company that's plugged into that, being an incubator that's plugged into that, and getting that set of visibility helps, again, with this concept of leveraging other national and international and regional resources that are available.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that that wasn't valuable, because I think the act of putting together that database is where you build some of those relationships and that awareness. So I just wanted to make the point that that's not enough. You need to go, once you've built it and you've got that resource there, you have to direct people to use it, you have to use it yourself, and you have to maintain it. And it's the act of doing that that actually builds the relationship so that people feel comfortable going to that resource.
And I'm very happy that as a quasi-government agency that Alicia does focus on metrics. As a taxpayer, I want to make sure that my dollars are being spent wisely, and focusing on metrics is a good way of doing that. So any closing questions? We're just about at 10:15. Any closing questions? Anything at all? We'd be happy to talk with you after, but something that the group might benefit from. Any final comments from any of the other panelists?
I'd just point out that we do have a table out in the exhibit area, and a number of us will be there from time to time, and if you have further questions or want to talk about how you might get involved with us, please stop by.
And responding to your last question regarding visibility for incubator clients, as we begin this, I want to look forward a little bit as we start to populate this brand new incubator in Maine at Brunswick Landing with different clean tech type companies. We're looking forward to looking to Action for resources and help, and really spreading that visibility of who's going through that program and that process at that organization.
Right. Awesome. Lou, any last thoughts? Any final questions? Anything at all? All right. Thank you very much for your attention. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. This concludes our session. For information regarding other sessions in the series, please go to our website at www.aven.com.